More than 100 countries have signed an agreement to ban cluster bombs. The United States is not one of those countries. Human rights campaigners are cheering the treaty anyway. They say that this is a step toward halting the use of a weapon that often kills or maims civilians. The World's Jason Margolis begins our report now by explaining just how cluster bombs work.
A large bomb is dropped from a plane. Inside that bomb, there are hundreds of small bomblets. They usually disperse and explode upon impact with the ground. The bomblets can quickly neutralize enemy ground forces in an area roughly the size of a football field. The problem is, sometimes the bomblets don't explode. But they often do when unfortunate civilians stumble upon them days, months, or even years later. Thomas Nash with the Cluster Munition Coalition says the new treaty aims to end this forever.
This is the biggest humanitarian and disarmament treaty that we've seen in over a decade. It's going to make an enormous difference to the lives of people who live in areas affected by these weapons. It's going to stigmatize this weapon forever.
But the treaty has its skeptics, like Bill Arkin. He writes about military issues for the Washington Post.
If you have a treaty in which Nigeria and Belgium and Brazil are saying, hooray for us, we've banned cluster bombs, but the United States and Israel and China and Russia are not signatories of that treaty and don't plan to abide by its provisions, then it's really more of a cluster bomb tea party than it is a cluster bomb treaty.
Arkin says four countries, the U.S., Russia, Israel, and China, possess about 99% of the world's inventory of cluster bombs. Still, proponents of the new agreement say the ban puts pressure on these countries to fall in line with the international community. That's what happened with a 1997 ban on landmines. The U.S. didn't sign that treaty, but the American military has bowed to pressure and effectively phased out landmines. With cluster bombs, Washington may feel added pressure today, because yesterday British Prime Minister Gordon Brown voiced his support for the cluster bomb treaty. Bill Arkin says that wasn't necessarily a jab at the United States.
It seems to me that the Labour Party in Britain, which is at a particularly weak point in time, is probably responding to domestic pressure.
On the ground, Britain's treaty endorsement should have little military significance. The treaty still lets troops from signatory nations fight alongside countries that are not subject to the treaty. MIT political scientist Harvey Sapolsky says this allows nations, like Britain, to claim a moral high ground.
But it's hypocritical because they'll be calling in American air support to protect their troops at various times, and American air support might use cluster weapons. And so, therefore, they don't use them, but someone else is using it for them.
Sapolsky worries that treaties that ban specific weapons are a distressing trend. He says in war, America's enemies don't respect the treaties, and certain weapons, such as landmines, have a strategic necessity.
I've talked to soldiers who remember their experience in Vietnam where they couldn't sleep at night unless you had these weapons because you could set up mines and protect yourself from infiltrators at night.
The Bush administration says cluster bombs have a demonstrated military utility. Still, the White House says it shares humanitarian concerns over the weapons. And the administration says it's working on technological improvements that make it more certain that cluster munitions will explode when deployed, and not later when they come in contact with civilians. For The World, I'm Jason Margolis.